Frank Yelup joins us on Sports Byline, head coach of the San Jose Earthquakes, and of course he was named to the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame. He also won the MLS Cup twice in 2001, 2003, and was named the MLS Coach of the Year twice, including last year. Frank, you've been associated with this sport for a very long time. Tell me what the magnetism is for you about soccer.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I grew up watching it, playing it when I was, you know, a young boy in England. I think whatever your first love is, it seems to stay with you forever. So I feel, you know, I'm really connected to the sport. I love what I do, and you know, I watch every game possible I can, and I guess that's my thing. That's all I like to do, and I really enjoy myself when I'm involved in the game.
Not everybody can make the transition from being a successful, steady player to being a successful coach. You have made that transition. What did it take? What did you have to adjust within yourself to be able to be successful?
Well, you are what you are. So, I make sure that when I was playing, I was pretty level-headed and I never got too carried away with myself. If I had a very good game, I never got too down if I didn't play particularly well. So I've always been into my coaching. I've been... again, pretty grounded. I think that I learned a lot from a lot of coaches where I think you learn more what not to do. And a lot of times I go back to, it just gets back in my head when I'm talking to a player, what I actually liked to hear and what I really responded to when I was playing. And I think that that's always stuck with me. You know, the two guys that spring to mind are both not with us anymore, but Bobby Robson, ex-England, ex-Ipswich, Barcelona manager, one of my best has ever been, and John Lyle. I think they both taught me to be a normal person, be honest, really think about what you want to do with players and tactics, and then when you do it, stick with it.
You know, you mentioned about managing, and I've always found that to be fascinating. Is that more of a communication skill than anything else, Frank?
I think it is, to be honest. You know, I have no problem giving my views to a player. I always feel I do it in the right manner, and I think that's important, that it's not an argument. I'm not talking down to players. What I'm doing is giving my view of how I see it. And we can have a discussion, but this is what I'm seeing as a coach, and I think players respond to that. I think they accept, like I did, I accepted criticism as long as it was constructive, and I think that's important. I've always had that in the back of my mind where, you know, any kind of faults that are coming from the manager or the coach, I accept it and I work hard to make him better.
You know, it's always interesting, that relationship between employee and employer. Now, I know sports is different, but, you know, when you're working for somebody, you probably grumble a little bit. You question about why the company did this or did that. You were in that role when you were a player. Now that you're on the other side of management, do you see some things that you didn't understand when you were a player, and has that helped you as well with the success that you've had as a coach?
I think so. I think you do see the other side of things once you step away from playing. You know, playing is singular, coaching is everybody. And I think, until you do it, you don't know what it means. And I think coaching looks real easy from the sidelines, or from the stands, or from fans and stuff like that. It's a very difficult skill. I think that... to get the best out of people and players, you've got to be, again, honest and knowledgeable. But I think I remember back, and all the times I just recall all the things that stuck in my mind that really helped me so far in my coaching.
I know when I was playing the game, and I played it for a short time in the North American Soccer League when I was up in Seattle with the Seattle Sounders. Now, this was a number of years ago. And I was a television personality up there, and I signed on with them. It was more of a promotional thing, Frank. But what I was struck by is the quiet communication that goes on the field. Can you explain to everybody what I'm talking about when I say quiet communication?
Well, I think, you know, what you got to know when you're in a team together, you got to obviously communicate and what each other is thinking and what each other is doing. I mean, if I'm defending and I have my central defender partner with me, I've got to tell him where the striker is or where the players are. And I think that people don't sit on the sidelines because it's usually loud, the crowd. I think the communication is massive. And then it's not just talking, it's eye contact. You've got to look around, you've got to make sure that your teammates know what you're thinking.
I also think that one of the things that you do very well is I watch a game, the ebb and the flow is it, and I think this is important to coaching, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, Frank, is the adaptability factor. And what I mean by that is that you're able to change and communicate to your players the changes that you want just in the ebb and the flow of a game. Am I correct in that observation?
You're doing pretty well. Sometimes it's very difficult to get the information across, but I think you're right. I mean, I try to make sure that there's no stone unturned coaching-wise. We do all our preparation on the day before the game. When we're changing on the fly, we usually try and pull a player over when there's a throw-in to get the information out, and I think that's important. And what I like about our players, they're really easy to coach. They're respectful. And they respond to anything we say.
You know, you bring up a good point about it. I think in all my years of sportscasting, Frank, I would have to say the best group of athletes to interview are usually hockey players because I find them to be kind of blue-collar type of athletes. I would say the same thing about the soccer players as well, the American ones, and then even pro golfers, and I think it's because they've gone to college to play their sport as well. Does that factor into it? I mean, you don't see the attitudes that maybe you'll find in the NBA or NFL or Major League Baseball.
Well, I don't really know many of those athletes, to be honest, but I think what you get from the soccer players, the hockey players and the golfers, I think there's no hiding. There's no real showboating. There's no real, it's a pretty straightforward, easy sport to follow. And I think, you know, you can't hide. And I think when you're not working hard, you get found out and you're off the team. And the teammates are the ones that will have a go at you, not the fans. So I think there's maybe room for being a little bit more lazy, maybe, in those other sports. But again, I don't know because I don't play them. What I will say is usually the guys are respectful that I work with in soccer. I know a lot of hockey guys because I grew up in Canada as well. And they're terrific people. And I agree with you on the golf guys, too.
The earthquake surprised a lot of people in soccer when they ended up finishing first in both their conference in the West and also with the best record in the league. And of course, you were led by just a fine young player in Chris Wondolowski. Talk to him a little bit about him developing. Is he kind of what you'd call a late bloomer, or where is he in his career?
Well, he said it all. He's a late bloomer. I mean, we got him at 25 years old, I think, maybe turning 26. I played at Houston, but I like what I saw of him, you know, in the reserves. And he played a few games in our league, and I liked him a lot. And then we got a chance to get him, and I definitely got him. He's one of those players that just, he's unsung, he doesn't look fancy, but boy, does he score goals. His finishing is terrific. He works so hard on and off the ball. That means, you know, when the other team's got it, he's working on to win it back. He's not resting. And when we have it, he's dynamic and very, very dangerous.
Do you tailor your offense now around him now that you see what he can do?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is for us, we lost our first game. And not playing in that game was, you know, Len Hart, who got 10 goals. Alan Gordon got 14. Marvin Chavez got 12 assists. Simon Dawkins didn't re-sign. And that was 8 goals, 8 assists. So for us to rely just on Wando is not going to happen. We've got to get the other guys healthy. But, you know, Chris is a guy that when all mayhem's, you know, breaking loose around him, he finds a way to calm down and finish chances.
In 2001, you became the head coach of the San Jose Earthquakes. Of course, you left, went down to Los Angeles as well. This is the 18th season for the MLS. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen as far as the development of American professional soccer.
I think it's gone on leaps and bounds since I started. I played in 96 in the league, up to 98, played 3 seasons, then started coaching. I think the league is on and up like nobody's business. It really is going to take off. I think that more and more people are getting interested in it. More and more investors and businessmen are trying to get involved in the league. More sponsorship. You name it, it's happening. So better players are going to start to get more regular in our team. You know, not just the Beckhams and Henrys. We're going to have some of the top players in the world coming over here. So exciting times. We're just going to make sure that it doesn't get blown out of control like it did before and kind of blows its steam out.
You know, you mentioned about some of the fine world players coming over and playing in this league, but do you feel, as I do, that they really need to develop homegrown talent, personalities, as well as successful players to really take the league to the next level?
Yeah, they do. I mean, Chris Wondolowski is a homegrown American boy that's done that's got the scoring title last year, and he got MVP. So they're coming, and I think that there's plenty enough young American players that I think in the next few years is going to take this league by storm and be the stars.
Is the measuring stick the World Cup and how well you do or how many times you go? Is that one of the things that fans get caught up in the media to some degree?
Well, you just said it. I think people get caught up with that. I mean, you could go into a World Cup and have a red card and not play well in two games, and all of a sudden you're a bad team. I don't think so. So I never, ever judge players on one or two performances. I look at their careers and how well they do and how well the longevity of their career and what they do. And I think, you know, we do get caught up with just tournaments and generally the World Cup. And, you know, you could be a great player on a team that's not particularly... Like George Best was one of the best players in the world ever. He never got to a World Cup, so we're saying he's not good. So I don't agree with that statement, and I don't think it's going to work or fly with me.
Well, I used to do the NASL on television, and I knew George Best. He was good at some things, but a lot of it didn't have anything to do with soccer.
That's a great point. Yeah, he liked his tipple, George. Yeah, he liked to drink. So, but you know what? What a player!
Uh-oh.
And you know what a shame. Obviously, he died young, but he showed us some stuff that nobody can do.
You know, it's funny. I did the last game. I broadcast the last game on the CBS network, Frank, that Pelé played in. It was a July 4th game against the. Sounders up in Seattle, and after the game he gave me his jersey, and it's something that I really, really cherished. And you look at the history of this sport over the years, and it's just amazing how beautiful it is. But what I'm fearful of is I look at it on a worldwide basis, Frank, some of the ugly incidences that I'm seeing with racism over in Europe, some of the problems that the sport as a whole, their governing organization has had, the scandal that has touched it. I mean, are they going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg in this sport?
I don't think so. I think for me, you know, a little bit of society comes into it too. You know, racism is everywhere. I don't think it's just in soccer, although it seems to be quite poor right now in some of the European countries. But, you know, again, I think that it's just a bit of a blip for us in this sport and sort of soccer. And I think in the end, everything will get cleaned up and we'll be fine.
Let me take you back to you were 19 years old. You started with Ipswich Town as a professional player. Tell me what that experience was like the first time you played professionally.
Well, I mean, I was at the club for 3 years before I started made my debut. So it was an amazing time. I think that what I do remember from it is, you know, when I ran out for my first game, I couldn't believe all the people were sitting in the stands because all my other games were played in empty stadiums in the reserve team. Also, I'm running out at Goodison Park at Everton in a Premier League match playing for my team Ipswich, and there's 35,000 people sitting there. And I'm like, wow. That was the first thing that hit me. But after that, you know, you settle in, you get into a career, and you're fine. But I think, you know, those memories are real, still stick in my mind. My first running up those steps and stepping out was like, wow, I've made it. That was cool.
Is there anything more electric than going into Wembley Stadium or one of those big venues, and maybe there's 80,000, 100,000 people there cheering? The grass is just vivid green, and the electricity that comes out of the stands to the players?
There's not, no. I've never played at Wembley. I've played at Manchester United. I've played all the top clubs, you know, in England, Liverpool, you know, Anfield and all these things. I think the best ones are night games when you run out and the lights are so bright and the grass is a little wet, and it's like, wow. This is an amazing sort of scene to set. And, you know, if you have no confidence, you're not going to play well. But if you do have a bit of confidence, you feel good about yourself, you tend to play well and really enjoy the moment. So, you know, I'll say to anyone listening, if you're a young player, please play with confidence and feel you're good. Because if you don't, then you won't enjoy the moment.
Frank, I want to thank you very much. I've looked forward to this conversation. You have to come into the studio sometime, and we will talk
anytime.
Soccer once again, because this has been very, very instructive. I like what your team does. I love watching them. I like the flow, the ebb and the flow of the game, and you have some wonderful players. Great season last year, and good luck this season. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline.
Thanks, Ron. I'll come in anytime. Thank you.
Right. Frank Yelup, again, the head coach of the San Jose Earthquakes, and they had a great year last year. They surprised a lot of people when they ended up finishing first in both the conference, the West Conference, and the best record in the league as well. And the team lost to the Los Angeles Galaxy in the conference semifinals, and the Galaxy then went on to win the MLS Cup. We'll take a break, come back, continue with more of you and Sports Byline.